Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So, hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for being here today. So today's episode is really to give you tools or tips as to how to get through this silly season. Now, what prompted me to record this episode was that I was starting to notice my own nervous system, and I was starting to notice my own body, my own mind, my own soul, with all that's happened, all that's been happening, I guess, in my life and in this time of year. I was really paying attention to how it is that I feel. And this episode is almost a lecture to myself, or a reminder to myself. I really won't use the word lecture, but it is sort of a reminder to utilize these tried and tested tools or tried and tested strategies to really help the nervous system. And I guess from an Ayurvedic perspective, when we understand that the Vata system, which is it's a dosha, it's something that is a characteristic or an energy system within our body, and it's to do with the elements of air and space. And because there is so much hustle, bustle, movement, stop, start, all those sorts of things that happen with this time of year, that there is a disruption, there's an imbalance to this Vata system. And so we want to bring forth strategies or habits or practices that will bring, we use the word grounding, but we're trying to bring the earth and water elements and aspects and the fire qualities to really help support our body to feel the best that it can so that we can thrive. And from a Western perspective, when we think about our nervous system, we're thinking about this fight or flight modality where, you know, we're ready to pounce if a predator is coming after us. And that's essentially how my nervous system has been feeling, really. So when I, you know, really reflect, we had a big move, we moved house, so that, you know, the organizing, the packing, unpacking, the logistical movement, the traveling still back to our old suburb for schooling, you know, taking that time and being in traffic and being in that, you know, kind of old routine and lifestyle, but being in a completely new locality, that certainly has caused all sorts of disruption, really, in my, you know, just in my time, in how I guess am feeling and how I'm responding to normal everyday realities. But they're becoming triggers, I guess, is my point here. And what I have noticed is happening is this feeling or this ability of not being able to let go, this holding on, this constriction, this, you know, my shoulders, I've hurt my neck, and I've been going to a physio, and it's, you know, every time that she looks at me and we're doing our exercises, she's like, you know, your shoulders are up, you're holding them up, and you don't let go. And that's definitely a, you know, I'm in this ridiculous stance all the time, and it need not be the case. It's not sustainable. It's obviously not enabling me to thrive. This feeling of getting somewhere in time and this, the scheduling, being here, being there at a particular time. And what was interesting, I've just heard a podcast with the beautiful Physio Laura. So Pregnancy with Physio Laura. And she goes through, she has a whole series about the vagus nerve. And I found that very fascinating. And I listened to all of the series and I really did get a lot out of it. And that is something that certainly in this Christmas period, I am really going to make a conscious effort in looking at my habits and my strategies and those sorts of things. And so what also I have noticed is that I've become incredibly absent-minded because I have so many things on the run. There's phone calls and meetings and scheduling in amongst working, getting the boys everywhere on time. There was a particular incident where I had taken my car out of the garage. I swear I had, you know, closed the garage. By chance, I'd had to do a U-turn and come back. And I saw that the garage was open. So I pulled back into the driveway and I was like, oh my God, that's so silly. How could I have done that? And I closed the garage. And then I got a phone call and I took the phone call on Bluetooth and I went about my merry way. And then when I finished, I actually couldn't remember if I had shut the silly garage again. And so all the way on the drive to pick up Ari from school, I had to drop him to his next activity. And then I drove back. I wasted 45 minutes there and back for the simple ridiculousness that I could not remember if I had closed the garage. I did, but that's not the point. I was just filled with this, you know, paranoia that, gosh, I've left the garage door open. Rufus is going to run out, our dog. And you know, this is just ridiculous. So what I'm noticing is because there has been so much on my plate that I'm becoming absent-minded. It's this too much movement. It's this stop, start, stop, start. And also then what happens is I will give myself fully to a situation or a place or an experience and then not physically reset and realign for the next activity or the next space, the next, you know, place that we are. And so I'm constantly just depleting my energy stores and not my physical energy. I'm talking about my, you know, the essence that's within me. There are some places or people that strip me more of this energy. And I would say I'm quite a highly sensitive person. If there's a lot of anxiety in the air or there's, you know, it's a palpably tense situation, I can feel it quite viscerally. And so what's happening is it's becoming quite a draining experience because I'm not resetting. I'm not putting in healthy boundaries. I'm not really checking in and refueling myself the way that I deserve to be and the way that I know that I function well. So that's a very interesting observation. I also catch myself being incredibly impatient on the roads. I have this, you know, move out of my way of being right now. And whether it's in the shops or in meetings, I'm just like, can you please just hurry up? Even with my children, I feel like my patience is dwindling because, you know, whether it's the mess or the noise or the constant talking or someone's whinging about something while I'm trying to get up something else down. And we've had, you know, other things in the family where, you know, my husband had to be taken out of the picture for the minute because his energy and attention and focus is elsewhere. And so I've had to really be, you know, the primary caregiver right at this minute. And I'm just finding that it's just grating. It's the grating of that nervous system. Please just, I just need silence. Please just do what you're told. And I'm sure every mother can, or father and parent and, you know, person can relate to that. But definitely I can feel that within me where normally I would have the patience and the resolve and, you know, the ability to handle that. But what I have noticed is that I'm itching for our holiday period. I'm itching for, you know, a break. But what kind of mentality or mindset that really my husband and I tend to live by is that tomorrow isn't promised. Even this afternoon isn't promised. And so we don't usually take life for granted and we don't take it too seriously. And we try really to make our life not one that you need to escape from by having a holiday. But what's happening is because I do feel so stretched, I am constantly visualizing just get me on a plane and let's just have an ability to switch off. And yeah, so anyway, what's interesting is that I'm noticing all these aspects and traits within me, but I know that if we continue to do this every single day, that life isn't it isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And we do need the energy and the resolve and
ability to keep going. And, you know, that's when burnout can happen. And that's where, you know, adrenal fatigue and all sorts of things where your body is shouting out and telling you something. And when we don't listen to that, that's when, you know, we can sort of, come back to bite us in the bottom, so to speak. So it really is trying to utilize strategies, anchor yourself into them, you know, even if it's day by day, even if it's one strategy at a time, even if it's having an end point and then making real conscious effort and time and effort to apply those strategies to help you really, you know, reset and realign. And so that is the purpose of this episode, to give you 10 strategies. I want to give you 10 tools for you to try in your holiday period. And I really do hope that you, get something out of it. And so for me, the purpose of reassessing and reflecting and looking in and trying to check in on how I'm feeling, it is this awareness that what enables me to thrive is this feeling of spaciousness and this feeling of abundance, this, you know, this freedom-filled life versus feeling constricted and feeling pulled and stretched. I mean, even the words when we say the actual narrative, it feels different inside. Stretched feels uncomfortable. Spaciousness feels glorious. It feels so incredibly, just nice and freedom filled. And, you know, that is what I want to incorporate into my life. You kind of check in with what's working, what's not working, and this is a perfect time. What would you like to do better? And not from a space of lack and not from a space of judgment or guilt or shame or anything like that, but from a space of what are things that are sapping, stripping your energy away? What are they? What are they essential in your life? Can you do without them? And, you know, that there's definitely so many aspects that I can see within my own life that you know, take away and don't necessarily give as much back in return, if that makes sense. So that is the inspiration of these tools. And the purpose behind giving the tools now is that, yes, this vortex of time that's happening, everyone is in this high pressure movement, get things done. Everyone wants to wrap things up at work and wrap things up, you know, shopping, wrap things up in terms of the to-do list, because everyone wants to collectively relax in this particular time. So it's a perfect opportunity when you do get chances and you get snippets and openings in windows to do it, to utilize the strategies and hopefully to help you thrive in this time and not just survive and not just want to pull your hair out, but really actually be able to do it beautifully and to come out of it as a renewed version of yourself. That's my ultimate aim for myself. That's my ultimate aim for my children, for my husband. You know, that's really what I want all of us to come out of the holiday period as. So just as a brief overview, what are these 10 strategies? So the 10 strategies are, number one, scheduling versus overscheduling. Two, boundaries. I'll go through each of them in a little bit more detail. Three, tips for your to-do list. Four, overstimulation. Five, alcohol. Six, to make sure you move your body. Seven, removing any guilt or armor, this emotional toxins that need to be processed and not sort of remaining dormant in our body. Number eight, important to do activities to help support your nervous system in order to reset and to recalibrate. Number nine, using the new year as a way to reevaluate. And 10, connection. And then I go through just some very basic contact points or resources if you need it. So if you're in the midst of postnatal or perinatal anxiety and depression, and this time of year is really making you feel so many different emotions and things, then I will link to you the resources on our Holistic Healing Co website, where it has the direct contact for so many different services that if you feel that you're needing some extra support and help, know that you're not alone, and we'll go through that as well. So number one, is this scheduling versus overscheduling. So I am a grade A people pleaser. I will push myself to the bone. I say yes when sometimes I should say no. I schedule things back to back to back to back, thinking that I am this, you know, magical woman that can do everything, and I can defy time. I can defy logistical consideration. But what ends up happening is we're so tired. We may not come home the whole day and I'm exhausted. I cannot, you know, I'll be sitting there like, oh, and now I still have to make dinner. And, you know, my kids, I mean, my boys, secretly, they're, you know, at the end of the day, they're like, I had the best day. Can we do that again? But, you know, equally, I know that they get tired. And equally, I know that it's not necessarily the best for them either, because they too would like aspects and segments and times of their day where they're not having to perform or not have to do anything. They can just be. If they want to sit there looking at a wall, or they want to play, or they want to play outside on their own, then that's okay. And so definitely our life in Sydney has become overscheduled. I say yes to everything because I want to make sure that our boys have the best life and, you know, they're living their best life. And so that's where that stems from. But then it also comes from this space of, yes, I definitely do overschedule. And so what I would suggest in this holiday period is to not do that. This is where at least there's no classes, at least there's no activities, play dates, you know, socializing. Look at your calendar and see, really check in to see what can you realistically do. And, you know, there will be things that you may miss out on, and that's okay, because I feel like in the pressure cooker life that is in the Western world, we are worthy and we are deserving to switch off and sit around home or sit at the beach for hours on end if that is what you want to do. And, you know, I feel like there is this aspect, of course, that you don't get a chance to see everyone as much as you would like to throughout the day. And there is this capacity and tendency to have lots of different social events. But I would simply say, look at your schedule and look at this time period as a sacred, a very special time between you and your family as well. And having that spaciousness, having that time just as a family unit as well, is so incredibly healthy. And when we are often just running around and, you know, doing life, we miss just being and having fun and the joy aspect of each other that goes. We can just get very much stuck in the, you know, the practicalities of hurry up and get ready and do your homework. And so when we are able to have time in our schedule to actually just be and play and potter around, I mean, that's just so beautiful and glorious. So, and I would say, looking in the new year, one of my big things that I'm going to be doing this holiday period is to really look into my schedule and see what is essential, what isn't essential, what am I going to let go of, what isn't necessary, what are my non-negotiables in terms of scheduling. You know, I need to have breaks in between because it's not sustainable, it's not conducive. And that actually extends to point number two, which is about boundaries. And in a similar way to scheduling as well, healthy boundaries, establishing that. I know that's a very cliche word and people throw it around a lot. And so what exactly does that mean? For me, it would be, you know, reevaluating and seeing, right, you know what, between this time and this time, I'm not available, and having that healthy boundary. It's always looking at what your non-negotiables are. So it could be just having one thing that you do on a particular day and not multiple things, because that is a healthy boundary. That beyond that, you know that you will be depleted. Beyond that, you know you will be tired. Having healthy boundaries, maybe people come over and if they just are sitting around and not being helpful, to set certain boundaries in place, whether that's with family members or whether that's with friends, and just making clear boundaries of, oh, look, can everyone just bring a dish? And it can be uncomfortable. It can be really hard to ask for help. Or sometimes it can feel like that, you know, you have to do it all, and that, you know, if you are an empowered person, that you should and could be able to do it all. But there really is no guilt, or there shouldn't be any guilt or shame in asking for help. It could be boundaries with time. It could be boundaries with food in terms of, you know, with children, for example, and grandparents that might be overfeeding them with sugar. It's putting that line in the sand. It's saying, look, this is my boundary. And so you've made it very clear. But I guess that requires a checking in to see what's important to you, what values mean something to you, what values may give you anxiety if it's not completed or if it's not, followed through. So those sorts of things I feel are very, very important. And so I also think that boundaries and clear communication go hand in hand, because without clear communication, no one can understand what your boundaries are, or even within yourself, if you're not able to articulate what your boundary is. You know, for example, I need to have eaten and we need to be heading home by 7 p.m. at the latest because my boys need to sleep. That's a nice, clear communication describing what my boundary is, and that is in place because then my children will become unraveled and exhausted and horrible the next day. And so that value and that boundary is important for our household. That's an example. So it's a good opportunity for you to check in and see what your boundaries need to be, or what you would like them to be, and how could you communicate them, and to whom you need to communicate them to. So number three are tips for all the to-do lists. Now, I also have a pitta dosha, so that fire and water aspect. So I am like a dog with a bone. I will not stop a task until it's completed. If there's passion and purpose behind it, or if I just, you know, for instance, with moving, I did not stop until every single box was unpacked, to the detriment of my neck, to the detriment of my situs, you know, being so run down by the end that I was basically, I was acting almost like a narcissist in that I was saying, look how much I've done. I'm so tired. I've unpacked everything. Anyway, no one told me to do that. Anyway, I digress. But what I think is important in these relentless to-do lists is, yes, write your list. I think they're so incredibly important. For me, it gives clarity. It's off my head. It's off my heart. At least it's on a piece of paper, especially the night before, so I can sleep in peace. And then divide and conquer. If you can delegate any of the tasks, delegate them. Delegate them to your partner. Delegate them to your children. It may not be done as perfectly as you may like, or you may feel you can do yourself, but we're not super people. And I think that we need to take that hat off where, you know, we have to work and have our careers and be amazing mothers or partners and, you know, parents and friends and siblings and children and, you know, still be fit and still do everything in between, because something has to give. And in this instance, write it down, delegate what you can, divide and conquer. And then also just see what strategies are going to make it easier. Now, yes, time is going to be an issue with Christmas coming next week, but are there things that you can order online? Divide who is going to shop for whom. So it's not all on you. Get your kids to wrap the presents that may not look as beautiful. It's okay. Order your groceries online. Even things around the house that need to be done, whatever it is, you know, divide the list, delegate, see where you can make it more simple. Even trips, you know, I found that I was doing multiple trips because I would forget. And so if you write it down, you kind of logistically work out, group things together is a very, very effective use of time, I would say as well. And what's really interesting for me, COVID has actually shown that connection is the key here. You know, we had the abundance of time to do stuff and to do things. We could have also, you know, we could have bought so many things online and done all of those sorts of things. But without the connection to people, life actually didn't feel full. It didn't feel like it had much meaning. And so that should be, I feel, and I don't like the word should, but for me, connection has to be the sole purpose or the sole meaning behind this time of year. The rest is all stuff, and all the rest of it isn't, you know, essential. It's being able to hug someone and being able to speak and openly connect with people, that is the purpose of this season, not present things and having, you know, an immaculate house and gloriously wrapped presents. And the final point on this aspect would be to drop the perfectionism, have a particular ideal in mind as to perhaps what you could have done in the past or what you may have had time for in the past. Drop that perfectionism. Looking at other people can also cause that feeling of, oh, I need it to be perfect because so-and-so has it all done nicely. I need to do the same. But you just need to do the absolute best in the situation, the resources that you have, not to compare yourself with others, not to look at cookie cutter Instagram pictures and think, oh gosh, mine needs to look like that too. You know, it might look like that on the outside, but we don't know what's beneath the picture. We don't know what's behind the picture. So, you know, this whole concept of the grass is greener on the other side, that's not really always true. So, you know, drop that perfectionism, do your best, be okay if it's not everything that you thought that you would like it to be. As long as you are present, you're connected, you're, you know, able to refuel yourself to be your best version of yourself, that is what your family members and those close, your beautiful tribe is going to connect and appreciate the most. So number four is this overstimulation. Now, overstimulation happens from the ping, ping, pings of the phone, of the emails, of the, you know, the news, the social media. That's definitely the worst. Every time you grow like updated, you try to, you know, refresh the feed, you get a whole new content. And it does. It's very, very overwhelming. And it almost is this sense of it's too much. You're feeling in this spaciousness with lots and lots of noise, noise that some might be positive, absolutely. And the thing is, even if it's beautiful, glorious, soulful music, having that all the time is still, you know, you also need silence. You do need silence. And so when my kids are chatting away, especially my youngest who is a chatterbox, there are times I'm just like, I just need just the moments in between of silence. I love your voice and I love all the things that you have to say, but sometimes it's a bit much. So anyway, that is something that is a big trigger for me. So every time my phone goes off, and even if it doesn't go off, I'm thinking, oh, who's messaged me? What is going to be urgent, you know? And it's this feeling of maybe it gives us a sense of importance or a sense of purpose, a sense of, oh, look, you know, I'm needed or I have to get this done. I'm so busy. As well, I think that we're not all the prime minister and we're not all saving the world as such. Like, we can be uncontactable for a certain amount of time. So my strategy in this instance would be to turn off your notification. Perhaps if you need to put one of those actual timers on your phone, on your iPhone, there's so many different options where you can actually restrict being able to open particular apps for a certain amount of time. You could maybe set a particular time of day where you're checking it, not constantly through the day. You could really decide not to use it at all. Put it on airplane mode, simply use it to take pictures if your heart so desires. It is this information overload that does saturate our nervous system. It gets pulled and it gets pulled and it gets pulled to the point where it can break. So we just need to have some silence, turn the TV off, turn the screens off, turn the phones off, pack them all away, and have space and room for that blank. You know, it's peaceful. It is so incredibly peaceful. And so I would invite you to look at where can you cut down your overstimulation. So a phone is a big one for me, and the TV for sure. Those are definitely aspects that I will be not connecting as much with social media, because I do feel that, you know, it is so important to disconnect, to reconnect by disconnecting from a screen. And it's horrifying. I actually caught the train yesterday into the city and everyone all over was on the phone, and I too was, because I had Google Maps trying to, you know, work out where I was going. But everyone's on their phone, there's cars coming, but people have earphones and they're either chatting away or they're looking at their screens, and, you know, they're not seeing cars driving past while they're walking. They could get hit. And so it was actually really, as an observer, I was horrified by what I saw. So, you know, I think that in our Western world, we've just become very, yes, I don't know, we need that spaciousness. And so overstimulation in whatever ways you can, just try to switch off. I think that's so incredibly important. Now, number five is looking at alcohol. Now, alcohol in itself, how it works is it's a CNS depressant, so a central nervous system depressant. But if you're looking at the biochemistry and how you're feeling, it definitely can alter mood, whether it's instantaneous or whether it's the following day. It is an external foreign agent that you're using to alter the state of your mind or your manas in Ayurveda. And so it can make it dull and inert. The next day you can feel very sluggish. It can precipitate anxiety and it can affect how good you feel. And so this is the season where we do tend to indulge in alcohol more than perhaps usual. And so it would be a matter of checking in. Well, how are you feeling? The NHMRC guidelines are currently standing at not having any more than 10 standard drinks in a week and no more than 4 standard drinks on any one day. But apart from these guidelines, I would say to check in with how you're feeling if you're getting anxious the next day or the day after and you can't attribute it to any underlying reason or trigger or cause, then certainly it could be alcohol, because it can certainly affect how you're feeling. It can perhaps affect the choices of food you might have. It might affect the choices of conversation, or it might fuel other things that may then precipitate more anxiety and mood-related complications and conditions. So I would say to, you know, perhaps every after you've had a drink, swap it with water, maybe have a lesser amount and dilute it with fill a drink. There are so many alcoholic-free beverages now, so many brands. Even, you know, what I sometimes do is I get like a kombucha and I put it in a wine glass. And so I feel like I'm having a cider or a wine, but it's really not anything like that at all. And so it might feel like, why am I missing out? There could be a feeling of lack, a feeling of being left behind, or like you're missing out on fun. It's not to say to cull it completely unless you absolutely feel like there's an obvious correlation, in which case you may very well be better off having no alcohol whatsoever. And certainly when we're talking about being on medication and certain health conditions and those type of things, then that adds a whole extra layer of complexity. And in the next season, next year, I will definitely be diving more into, you know, more of these type of topics to help shine the light on, so alcohol and medication and things like that. But what I would say in this instance is to look at the volume, see the effect that it's having on your body. And this is the same with nutrition and the type of food you're eating. It's so incredibly important. If you are having a drink, have it with the connection and the joy and the love of those that you're with, and not feel guilty like, oh, I shouldn't be drinking this. You know, you're better off not drinking it then. If you're going to be drinking it with a side of guilt, you know, then don't drink it. I think that's better. Otherwise, if you're going to have it, just have it with that communal, beautiful, joyous, celebratory mindset and aspect. I think that that's very, very important. And the last point of I know it's alcohol, but really the concept of nutrition. So having prana, life-filled, nutritious food, you know, if we're going to be just having Pizza Hut every single night or fast food because you've had such a busy day, you know, being out and about and that's processed, or anything that isn't, you know, freshly prana-rich food, then that will impact the way that you're feeling. And, you know, if you're looking at how you're going to feel the next day, then of course, eating nutrient, dense, beautiful, organic, amazing home-cooked food, ideally if you can, but at least one that's been cooked with love and joy, that is going to help you feel nourished. And that is what this period should be. We shouldn't come out of the Christmas period feeling more ill or more depleted or more in need of a reset. Anyway, it's all about balance. Of course, it's all about balance. And it's that same concept of not having that armor, that emotional toxins of the guilt. If you're eating whatever you deem is unhealthy, then, you know, certainly don't have it with a side of guilt and shame. You know, eat it, enjoy it with people that are around you, and let go of the guilt and shame as well. So anyway, I digress, of course. So number six is to make sure that you move your body. And this isn't as a punishment. This isn't as a self-deprecating way to work off all those extra calories you had. Not at all. It's a way to have that prana, that life force energy working through your body, getting those endorphins, getting those feel-good hormones pumping through your body. It's so important. So alcohol, for example, certain food make you tend to feel very sluggish. And then that in turn obviously would make you feel less likely to exercise. But when you exercise, you will get more endogenous energy, which is that more internal, natural energy. So not something from caffeine that is making you feel like you have more energy. It's not actually doing that. It's a stimulant. It's not actually breaking down glucose anymore to, you know, actually give you fuel to function. It's simply just stimulating you. So exercise is one that actually will make you feel more energized, ironically. And yes, you probably need energy to exercise. And it's, you know, I've seen lots of funny memes about how it sounds like a pyramid scheme. You need energy to exercise and then you get energy. But anyway, it is so important. And I think that in this spaciousness of your day, even if you can do movement as a family, or you go for a walk, or you run around your garden, or you do some strength training on the stairs, you know, at the back of your house or whatever it may be, yes, the weather's getting warmer, but I do believe that exercise is a non-negotiable every single day. Will help how you're feeling. And so that can definitely also help with your mood, anxiety. So if you're finding alcohol is triggering that, right, it can at least help hold you and the effects that you're experiencing with the other variables that are happening. But definitely it's not coming from a space of punishment and, you know, I ate this, so therefore I need to exercise this much more to burn off those calories. That's not the space that I'm speaking of, because that's going to be bringing more emotional toxins and armor. And so we move our body because we're so grateful that we can. We move our body because we're so grateful that our lungs can fill with oxygen and our heart can pump our blood everywhere. We're grateful for our hands and our arms because, I mean, what a blessing, and having feet and legs to carry us and run. And, you know, it's almost a celebration of the beauty and the bounty that our body is. And, I love that exercise is always a reminder. You know, me hurting my neck and not being able to do as much, it was a reminder of, gosh, I would do anything for my physical health back because I appreciate it. And sometimes it is that irony of knowing what you've lost when it's gone. And so when you get it back, just, yeah, absolutely devour it completely. Number seven is removing any guilt and armor. Now, I've mentioned this a lot to do with food and alcohol. But it's also, I would say, to do with rest and self-care and time out. And so what this, it's an Ayurvedic term or an Ayurvedic philosophy or belief. I'm not sure what exact word I'm looking for, but it's this concept that anything that's not digested or metabolized appropriately, whether it's in a physical form, that can turn into atherosclerosis, that plaquey residue internally. And so the focus is to try to maximize and optimize our digestive fire so that we can digest our food properly. But in an emotional sense, any emotion, any feelings that we hold on to, whether it's anger, frustration, guilt, resentment, sadness, anything that you're not processing it, you're not looking into why is it happening, where is it coming from, then it will remain within our body, will remain trapped. And, you know, I love that whole mind, body, spirit aspect of Ayurveda because it takes into consideration the emotional aspect of it. And so when we talk about this permission, giving yourself permission to switch off, giving your permission to rest, you know, it's not a luxury. It's not, it might seem like it's a luxury. You might feel like that you're not deserving or that you don't have time or space for it, but to create that spaciousness for it is so incredibly important, and to not have all of the guilt and shame that comes with that, because you are a human being and you are worthy and deserving just like anything else, just like anyone else. And I really feel like just releasing that emotional hold on you for whatever, you know, fill in your blank, that you are worthy, you are deserving, and to just, yeah, let it go. Number eight is it's important to do activities to help support your nervous system. And the purpose or intent is to reset and to recalibrate, because this is the perfect opportunity. I love just ripping that last sheet of the calendar and putting a new one. And yes, I know that every second of every day is a new moment to reset. You don't need to wait till Monday, or you don't need to wait for a new month or a new day to reset, or a new hour even. You know, every moment is anew. I get that. But I actually really feel like it's just such a beautiful time to do certain practices to look after your nervous system. So we're looking at things like meditation. I mentioned exercise, looking at your nutrition, looking at things like breath work can be a beautiful way. And I've mentioned this in a few of the episodes, but I guess drawing to what resonates with you, it could be reading a book, sitting on the grass and looking at the sky, doing nothing. That's actually one of my favorite things to do. And another thing I love to do is just sitting and having a coffee or a drink or whatever it is, and watching people watching, or watch the ocean, just doing nothing. I find that so incredibly relaxing. I find it very energy building. It's like it's filling in all of the little voids that I've gathered through the day. It's like it just plugs that hole and it plugs that hole. And by the end, you know, I just feel whole again. And not that I never was whole. I was always whole. I am always whole. I'll always be whole. But I think you get the concept. So it's just filling in those air pockets with that earth aspect that I need. And so that is where there are so many things that you can do, whether it's chanting, whether it's yoga. I am, you know, using asanas and pranayama as a way to ground yourself, having a bath or something, a ritual with a candle and beautiful plant extracts that are very grounding, utilizing, you know, things like lavender and chamomile and all these different tools that can just help to ground that body. And so number nine was using the new year as a way to reevaluate. So as I've mentioned throughout this episode, I definitely will be looking at my schedule and see, what's working, what's helping me, what's not helping me, where do I need help? What am I willing to do to get it? Does it require finding someone, hiring someone to fill in certain gaps? Is it, you know, what is it? What a kink in my little chain here that are slowing me down, that are depleting me and filling me more of these holes that I don't need. I need to feel like those pockets are not empty. And so again, it's not coming from a space of lack or limitation, and of course gratitude for all that is, but really just using this as a space to check in and take some responsibility and accountability. And if there are things that you're finding are not enabling you to thrive, then you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to keep doing it because the rest of society is. You can choose what is going to make you, your children, your family thrive. And you're so worthy and deserving to create that life for you. But it requires, I guess, an introspection to really evaluate and see what's working, what's not working. Your life may be absolutely running beautifully smooth and you may not have to change a thing. And amazing. Your reflection will be to continue that. How am I going to maintain this? Now, number 10 was about connection. And so with COVID, I 100% believe that connection is the key to life. For me, that is the purpose of life, to connect heart to heart, you know, with any and all people, obviously with healthy boundaries in place. You don't want to just be a people-pleasing entity. You want to still disconnect from a heart space and really truly be present with whoever it is that's important to you. And this is a beautiful opportunity for play and joy. And I can appreciate that this time can also be very challenging. It can be a reminder of connections that we have lost along the way. It can bring back memories. It can bring back a lot of nostalgia. It can bring back a lot of pain for some people. I can completely appreciate that and that aspect to it as well. And by no means am I going to minimize that. I would say to revel in that and to feel whatever it is that you're feeling, and you're allowed, you're worthy, you're deserving to feel all that you're feeling. And I would say that if you are lucky enough to find new people and an extension to your tribe to help connect with you even more, that it can help to bring that sense of belonging and to help you feel like your piece in this whole puzzle of life matters. But definitely in the space of perinatal mental health, as I mentioned before, if at any time you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling triggered by what you're seeing on social media or by friends or family, people that you're seeing, you know, if it's feeling like it is all too much and you're feeling all alone, or you're feeling like, gosh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. If you're holding yourself up to the expectation of how you should feel and berating yourself perhaps by what you actually are feeling, and perhaps that you're feeling pressured to do more and more, or you could be pressured to do anything where you just want to be left alone, but you have so many social obligations. I can appreciate that. You might feel absolutely exhausted, touched out, tapped out, absolutely energetically spaced out. You might not be able to enjoy all of the mess and the noise, and you know, you like things in a certain way, or you might be feeling triggered by the lots of different food options that, you know, your family or your children are having that they normally wouldn't, you know, coming out of schedule than you normally would. Or there could be anxieties around safety and, you know, all sorts of things. I mean, there's so many different things to unpick and unravel. But all I would want to share with you in this instance is to know that you're not alone. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is. I completely can appreciate that 1 in 5 women have PNDA and 1 in 7 women have postnatal depression. Now, it's not going to stop because it's Christmas and the New Year time. We can't just magically switch it on and switch it off. And whilst at times you can feel that pressure of having to do that, and when I was unwell, I could not socialize with anybody. I had nothing to say, didn't want to see anyone. And so I can appreciate if you're in the depth of that, in amongst sleep deprivation, and you're just not feeling like yourself, then know that you're not alone. And I can completely, I see you, I acknowledge you, and I know, and I'm telling you that it doesn't stop, that it doesn't discriminate, it doesn't choose who is going to affect and when it's going to affect them. So I completely see where you are and know that you're not alone, but know that there are so many resources. So if you're feeling really like you need to speak to someone, don't feel like everything is closed because it's a public holiday. Don't feel like there is no access to resources because it's the holiday season. Now, the resource list that I have on the Holistic Healing Co website is Australia specific. And it's got a whole host of resources. So things like the number and line for Lifeline, for Beyond Blue, Panda, the Gidget Foundation, the Gidget Virtual Village, Kids Helpline, Support for Domestic Violence, you name it, absolutely know that you're not alone. And I would simply say that I see you, beautiful person, and I do really feel for what you're going through. And just relinquish that pressure, take that burden off your shoulders in having to pretend to be something, you know, take that mask off. If you feel like SHIT, then you know what? You tell all your family and friends that's how you feel. And I hope that they honor you and give you the safe space for you to just be all that you are and know that you're worthy and deserving to speak your truth, because you absolutely are. And, you know, you are a human being, and you're no less than the sky and the sand and the flowers. Like, everything that exists is the same as you. It is you. It's it's part of you. It's the whole cosmos and connection that we have with one another and in all living things. And so I would love for you to know that you are so incredibly worthy and that you matter and that you are deserving. You have permission to reach out. You have permission to speak your truth. Please just let that pressure go to be anything other than what it is that you feel and who you are. And so, you know, I would definitely say that, you know, cut that string, the one that's holding you towards your responsibilities and your, I mean, of course, you know, you'll always have children that need to be looked after. They don't get the memo of that it's rest time per se, but, you know, you can let the to-do list just sit on the wayside. There's nothing that you absolutely have to do. Have permission to cut that string that's holding you bound to that. Just let it go and you'll feel a lot more free from doing that. And so, and also to find ways in which you can refuel and recharge whilst your children are playing. So, or, you know, children are sleeping or napping or next to you or playing, or doing tummy time or whatever it is and whatever stage that you're at, you know, you could read a book or you could journal or you could listen to some music and, you know, you'd find what makes you feel like you again. And those short, sharp sessions will add up into hopefully getting you through this time, but know that you're not alone. Know that resources and help still exist, despite it being this time of year. Know that I see you. I absolutely see you. And I really do hope that you have the strength and courage to speak your truth. And I hope that your family, your partner, everyone can actually hold you in the most beautiful and gorgeous way that you deserve. And so my pearl to practice for this week is really to just try to incorporate one strategy, one of those tips, 2, 3, 10, whatever it is that you feel like will help you in that moment. I definitely, as we're wrapping up, today's the last day of school. We're heading over for our business adventures for a few days, which, you know, we'll be busy, busy. You know, it's just a nice, again, another opportunity, even if it's on the plane, to just have a few hours switched off, recalibrate, come back stronger and better. Now, next week's episode is going to be a beautiful grounding meditation as the final episode for 2022. We will restart again in the new year with beautiful series. I've got some amazing concepts that I want to work through to really help you to nut out concepts such as medication, really nutting it all out as a whole series, going through aspects of breastfeeding as a series, going through alcohol as a series, going through even health, different health conditions as different topics. So to really give you information from a pharmacist perspective, but also I would love to do a series on Ayurveda. And to really, you know, I've dabbled with concepts here and there, but to give you a proper series of all things Ayurveda, so you can go and listen to all of those, you know, 4 or 5 episodes, and you get a good understanding of what it is. I'm really looking forward to having some amazing guest speakers on to really help share their insights and information. And my real genuine hope is to make a real difference in your life and to really make a beautiful change. And I feel like this year has been quite energetically sappy, draining. There's been a lot happening, and I'm going to sound like I'm a bit of a maniac. There's been so many eclipses and lunar activities, and there's been a lot going on that have made me feel rattled. Like, I definitely have gone with the ebbs and flows of this year. And I've always just taken it the isness that it is. But yeah, I definitely am looking forward to a new 2023. I'm so incredibly grateful for an amazing 2022. And my genuine hope is that I can be of service and I can use my professional skills in a way that can help you to live your best life. And they're always beautiful reminders for me to live my best life, to be consciously, mindfully, ever present and aware. So anyway, I digress again, but I thank you. I thank you so incredibly much for joining. And I really hope that you have taken away something special from today. And next week, I hope you enjoy the beautiful guided meditation. And so until then, have a glorious week.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.